If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. I feel it is important that we continue to keep our focus in the right place, that we continue to major on the majors and minor on the minors. The major is the great commission of the Lord. The major is that you and I are vessels representing the kingdom government of heaven on the earth, that we are to go carrying the precious seed of the word, amen, and to go into all the world and to preach the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom is here. Heaven is here. Heaven is here now. Heaven is among you. Heaven is in you if you are in Christ. You are seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Heaven is not heaven apart from Jesus. Wherever Jesus is heaven. It's paradise. When Jesus showed up on the scene, the King of the kingdom had come. And he declared, the kingdom is at hand. It's among you. Now, obviously, to some, that was kind of puzzling. How can some guy that was born in a stable, raised as a carpenter's son, make such a declaration? But how many realize that Jesus didn't just say that, but he demonstrated that reality? It's not enough for you and I just to say that. We must demonstrate the reality of the kingdom. God wants his church to understand her authority, her position, her place, and the power that he's given to us to make him known in the earth. God wants to reveal himself to the unbeliever. The Bible says that tongues are a sign. Signs point to something. Tongues are a sign that the kingdom is at hand. That the kingdom has come. I'm not going to talk about tongues tonight, but I want to make the point that signs and wonders point to someone. We are to point to Jesus, right? Yes. And so, when Jesus commissioned his disciples and he told them to go and to bear fruit, to preach the gospel into all the world, and he said to do what? To observe everything I taught you. And to teach others to observe everything that they were taught. The others includes you and I today. We are the others. And so it's not enough for us just to talk about the Lord. It's not enough just for us to learn about the Lord. The purpose for learning about the Lord is that we may know the Lord. We come to know the living Word through the written Word. And so our purpose is to make him known, is to declare his word, is to reveal his glory through his church. God wants to reveal his glory. Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17, I believe it was, that they would also receive the glory that he had. For what reason? So that they would look spiritual? No. So that we could declare the kingdom. And that they would see the reality of the message come, amen, manifest before them. Yes. So it's not enough just to speak about Jesus. We must preach Christ. We must reveal Christ. The Lord wants to reveal himself through you and I in such a way that there's no argument. Some people like to debate doctrine. Are you with me? Win an argument. If I can just win the argument, they'll come to Jesus. I don't think that's ever happened. You just offended somebody, more than likely. What the world needs is the love of the Father through His people. We can only love people as the Father, amen, is loving in us. As we are loving God, we are loving people too. As we worship God in spirit and in truth, there will be a manifestation of His fragrance in our lives and through our lives. Isn't that true? That's why after we've had a time in the glory together of worship, it makes you want to love everybody.
All warm and fuzzy.
All warm and fuzzy. And so in Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 20, when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God would come, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. In other words, run over here, run over there. Searching for the kingdom. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Now the king of the kingdom was within, amen, their nation. He was among them. He was within them in the sense that he was there on the scene where they could see him and handle him and touch him and hear from him. But then the day came when the Lord departed and He sent the Holy Spirit upon His church. He sent His Spirit into our hearts. The Spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. We become sons and daughters of the Most High God. Joint heirs to the throne. And we are given the commission to make Him known. And God confirms His word with signs following. These signs, Mark 16 says, will follow those who believe in My name. In My name they will what? Cast out demons. They will prophesy. They will speak with new tongues. They will exercise authority over the enemy. He didn't say they're going to go around and pick up rattlesnakes in church. Some people have been very literal about that, and some of them had a quick trip to heaven because of that. Hopefully in heaven. But the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Naturally, we want to see. We say, if I see it, I'll believe it. Now, God gives us glimpses. God opens sometimes our spirit to allow us to see something that was previously unseen. Sometimes God will reveal something invisible, amen, to us. But He only does that with purpose. There's always a reason for doing that. It's not just so we can go around and say, look how spiritual I am, but He will show us something for the benefit of ourselves. Most of the time it's for just us, or it may be for somebody else. Some people may never see anything. And that's okay too. Yeah. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe, Jesus said. Amen. But some people are visual and they have visual gifts, and God gives them things that sometimes they can see into the spirit world what's going on. I believe discernment of spirit sometimes comes with that. They're able to recognize a certain spirit, so that they can exercise authority over that and get a person set free. And then you have people that are more audio. I hear what you're saying. I heard that. We listen and we hear and we, you know, we perceive things through the ear gate more than we do with our eyes. And then you have others that are more kinesthetic. They are sensory, feely people, you know. I felt the Lord spoke to me. I felt this is what the Lord was doing, you know, or saying. And I felt the Lord was showing me this. Interesting. And so sometimes you'll sense something in your sensor. You just know in your knower that this is a good thing or this is not a good thing. This is right, but there's something wrong with this. But the Lord works through us differently. So don't try to be somebody you're not. Be who you are in Christ, because there's not another one like you on the planet. And if you try to be somebody you're not, you're going to miss out on who you are. And if you're not who you are, somebody else is going to miss out on the gifting of God through your life. And every gift is important. It's an investment that God makes in us. So the kingdom of heaven does not come with observation. God's not calling us to run after this thing and after that thing, after this move and after that move. It's okay, folks, to visit churches or to go to special events or to seminars or to conferences. You know, let me just say this. You've got to be careful, because what happens is sometimes people live out of those experiences. They're going around from one thrill to the next. They're like spiritual thrill seekers. And they got to have that buzz. They got to have that fix. And sometimes, if you're not careful, you can get into the wrong spirit that can look very much like the real spirit. And just because there are signs and wonders does not mean it's of God. Even Paul himself says, if I or even an angel from heaven speak any other gospel to you than the one that you've received, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. We got to make sure that the spirits line up with what God has revealed in his word. Would you say amen?
Amen.
And so the kingdom is among you. He said it's at hand. And we have a high priest in the heavens, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. None of us have what it takes to overcome apart from Jesus. We must find our place. We must humble ourselves under the hand of God. We must recognize our own poverty of spirit so that we might be rich in God. Otherwise, we will operate out of our self-will. We will operate in selfish ambition. We will operate out of our own agenda. We've got to set aside our agenda and take up His cross. Amen?
Amen.
And follow Him. We can do good things, and you can do a lot of good things, but they can be the wrong thing if it's not the thing that God called you to do. How many know that we only have a short time on this planet? And it's getting shorter all the time. And so we need to know what is the right thing. What is the God thing? What is God saying? What is God calling me specifically to do? And the only way you're going to know that is to seek the heart of the one who made you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Some people are running from here and running there and running to this prophet and that prophet. And they get three or four different prophecies coming. And they're all saying something different. Because sometimes we're too lazy to go and pursue God ourselves. So we're looking for shortcuts. We're looking to just go over here and get a word. And go over there. Well, I don't know if I like that word. I'll go over here and get a word. I kind of like that word. That word made me feel good. That word told me what I wanted to hear. Sometimes the word of God is not what you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear. If you love truth, you love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you love His Word. His Word is truth. And so, the kingdom is right now among us, folks. When He sent out His 70, amen, when He sent out His 12, He told them to say that the kingdom is at hand. And we have Jesus who represents us in the heaven. Amen. Our high priest is there. We can come to Him, and everything we need, He has.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't send you out on an assignment without preparing you for it. He's not going to ask you to do something without giving you what you need to do it. And even if it's a scary thing He asks you to do, He wouldn't ask you to do it if He wasn't going to back you up in it. Amen?
Amen.
There's going to be fruit. Every time you obey Him, there's fruit. And so if you and I are truly walking in the Spirit, we will have experiences in the Lord.
Amen.
Well, we don't trust in experiences. Well, if you don't have an experience, what do you have? We are experiencing God. When you experience one another, you have a relationship, right? You have an experience, an encounter with that person. There's usually something that you can walk away from a conversation with. Hopefully it's going to be a good thing you walk away with. But God gave us language. He gave us speech to speak. Words are spiritual. Words are powerful. There's life in words. And that's why when He sent His disciples out, He says, speak that which I have already ordained for you to speak. Declare, the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is among you. When you line yourself up with what God says, the Holy Spirit is there. He says, okay, we need to hear clearly. And we need to speak what He's speaking. We need to do what He's doing. We need to get back to a place, if you will, of spiritual childlikeness. I know people accuse me of being childish all the time, which I thank them for that. But I am a kid in the king's court.
Amen.
I can rejoice in complete freedom and liberty and be completely oblivious to the opinions of others. Because I'm just in love with Jesus.
Amen.
When we become adults, then we get very distrusting, untrusting. You know what it's like, don't you, when you're a child and you're so open and believing, and after a little while you start to learn that you can't believe everything people say. And so we grow up, and after we become adults, it's like, man, sometimes you don't believe anything. You have to prove it or check it out or, you know, get it notarized or... Isn't that true? Have it in writing. Have a lawyer take a look at it before you enter into this contract. But when it comes to the spiritual things of the kingdom, we've got to have the childlike faith of simply saying, put everything else, get even, you know, all these thoughts of what about this, what about that. Quit over-examining and over-evaluating everything. Overthinking it. Go pray for the sick and they'll recover.
Amen.
Yeah, but what? Go pray for the sick and they'll recover. A childlike spirit that readily says, okay, Papa told me to do it, I'm going to do it. And when I do it, I believe that Papa's going to back up His word. You see? Because what happens is we get so many doctrines sometimes as you're going through the process. And the enemy gets you all confused and he robs you of the simplicity that's there. It's really not very difficult. Children sometimes are the best evangelists.
Amen. That's right.
God uses children to prophesy. I've seen it. Little Oli sometimes prophesies. We have children that will lay hands on the sick, and God will use a child because their faith is so pure and simple. They just believe what God said. So we got to become children again. when it comes to spiritual things. We need to be harmless as doves and wise as a serpent. Amen? In this world, obviously. We've got to be aware of men. But when it comes to the things of the kingdom, when it comes to the promises of God, the things that God has told us very clearly, what He wants us to do, we need to be children about that. Okay. Just say yes, Lord. Yes. You see, it's not with God, it's not like among human beings where, you know, people lie. So after a while, we don't trust. But when it comes to God, He never lies. He's always trustworthy. He is the most trustworthy. And so we got to have that childlike faith when it comes to the things of God in order to see the kingdom of God. Are you with me? Yes. To see the manifestation of the kingdom, you've got to have that spirit. Mark 10:15, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Why was it that the Pharisee, the religious people, the indoctrinated ones had the hardest time with Jesus? And it was revealed, the kingdom was revealed to the babes. It was revealed to the simple folk of that day. And they just, like children, they just received it. And they believed what He said. That's why when we have new believers, any new believers in here? When you're a new believer, or when you think back to when you were a new believer, how everything was brand new. Everything just came, faith was like right there. Until we started to become adults. I'm not talking about growing spiritually here. I'm talking about something that happens in our attitude about the things of the kingdom. Where we become distrusting somehow. Because we hear from one side, someone says, yes, believe God and go for it. In other sides, well, be careful of that. Or, that's not for today. That went away with the apostles. Well, which one is true? And so now when you go to pray, it says, well, Jesus said, and I heard someone say, but wait a minute, there's another voice speaking here. That went away with the apostles. And confusion enters in. And what happens is the enemy tries to divide our minds. Double-minded, you know, wavering back and forth. And when we go to pray for people now it's like, well, I don't, yeah, well, no, yeah, well, I don't know. Well, maybe. When you pray for somebody, man, you go, matter-of-factly, don't receive anything else except, I believe this person's going to be healed.
Amen.
And leave the results up to God. Don't worry about your pride either. What if nothing happens? What will people think of me if nothing happens? That's pride. That is pride. Say amen. Get yourself out of the picture. I simply listened to Papa, what he told me to do. He's already told me what to do. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus told me what to do. I don't need to get confirmation. He said, heal the sick. His word is living. It's powerful. It's alive. It's now. The kingdom is among you. Here and now. God has given you His spirit. He's given you an anointing. He's given you an ability to manifest, amen, heaven on the earth. To bring heaven to earth. That's why we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Visit. Lord, visit earth. Bring in that which is eternal and invisible into the natural and the temporal. Bring in that which is superior into the inferior. Bring in your healing where there's sickness and disease. Bring your delivering power where there's demonic infestation. God wants His people to know who they are. You're a world changer. I'm a world shaker because I know who I am. simple chorus, but see, it's that childlike faith that releases the results of the kingdom. One thing that helps is just have a good time. Enjoy the journey. Children laugh hundreds of times every day. Adults, if they laugh a dozen times, they're doing well. Some people don't laugh at all. Children enjoy life, man. They're just like happy. It amazes me. You look at, you know, the tornadoes and the damage and the devastation. You know? And obviously, you know, these are awful things that happen. And they're painful. But it amazes me to watch the children, sometimes within hours. You know, their house is in a heap of rubble, and they'll be out finding something to play with their friends. We can learn from children. When things happen, we have to just say, stop, okay, God, what do you want me to do? You're with me, you're for me, you're in me, you have a plan, you have a purpose. What can I learn from this? When a problem comes, you don't let the problem dominate you. You take authority over the problem and say, okay, turn your back on it. Say, God, what do you want me to do? I found that if I can just relax in a situation and let the Lord speak to me, He'll give me wisdom. He'll give me something to do. He'll give me assignment. He'll give me instruction. If I start to panic, I won't hear Him. I can remember thinking that I lost something. In fact, I did lose something. It was an important document when I was working this one job. And I was just fretting. Man, I tore everything apart looking for this document. I couldn't find it. And I was like just really steaming. I was stressed out. I was like, oh, man, what? You know. None of you ever done that before, but I did. You know. And finally, I got to a place where I just laid down on the bed and I just said, oh, God, please help me to find this. And all of a sudden, I kid you not, boom, a book. God spoke to me about a book. And so I went down and I had a whole library of books. And I went and I pulled that book out and I opened up. Guess what was in the book? We gotta understand that we don't operate out of stress, but out of rest. We've got to settle down and know that the Lord has got it all together. He's not stressed out at all. We just got to get into His peace. Just shut everything off, shut everything down. If you have to, get away and get shut in with Jesus. Pour your heart out, wait on the Lord. Let the peace of God begin to guide you. Hallelujah. And then the Lord, you'll begin to hear His voice. Wait on the Lord, wait on Him, but He'll speak to you. How many know that prayer is not a monologue? It's a dialogue. All right. So we receive the kingdom as a little child. Simple. Children are trusting. Children bounce back very quickly. People that are really mature in the Lord too, you'll see that they don't get easily offended. Yeah, it's a sign of maturity. You're able to endure some things. You're able to overlook some things. You've got patience. You can endure some things, right? I mean, you know that God is working on all of us to make us more patient. When the world is falling apart around us, when people are, their lives are falling apart around us, they need to see the kingdom in you and I. They need to see that we have a stability that they don't have. We have a peace that they don't have. We're not stressing out like they are, because we've learned how to reach out to Jesus, tap into His eternal resources of His grace that He's made available to us freely when He shed His blood for us, to give us access by faith, not because of our performance, but because God wants us to come to Him. When Jesus showed up, He said, come to me. He didn't say, if you do this, this, and this, and this, you can come to me. He said, come to me. I'll take the stress away. He came to forgive. He came to heal. He came to restore. He came to reveal the real heart of God. Not what the religious folks were telling people. That kept them in bondage and legalism, and they weren't enjoying the journey at all. Jesus said, I want you to have life. I want you to enjoy life. True faith has results. Now, we don't put our faith in faith, right? Some people are just faith, 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 and Jesus is not even in the equation. It's all about faith. Are you with me? Faith in God. Just have faith in God, Jesus said. And so, the kingdom is spiritually discerned. It's not always going to be an angelic messenger. It might be, but we can't always be looking for those things. Amen? We look for God. And we look for Him sometimes in the still small voice. When we have settled our spirits and quit running over here and running over there and looking for the kingdom over there. And maybe the kingdom is in that church. And you know what? The kingdom is with you. It's within you. Is Christ in you? The kingdom is within you. So you can go to some dead horse church, amen, and effect change there because the kingdom is within you. You can be salt and light wherever you're at in your work environment, or there may be nobody there except you that knows Jesus. Well, how greater a place for you to be than in a place where they don't know Jesus? Amen. The light shines brightest in the darkness. And that's why I like being in Shelton, because people say, oh, Shelton. What an opportunity to be in Shelton. Let your light so shine, man, it just shines so much brighter when there's darkness. Why do you think God has called you and raised you up? So you can be the light, right? In your environment. We want to put ourselves into the Christian bubble, you know? We just want to hang around nice people and sanctified people. And now, we love fellowship and we need fellowship. But God is going to take you, amen, and place you in situations that are not easy, that are not comfortable, that are hostile sometimes even to your faith, so that you can manifest His glory there. Amen. And even when Paul was persecuting the church, thought he was doing God a favor, getting rid of these Christ callers, these followers of Jesus, he was actually the one that would write most of the New Testament. The same one that persecuted the church. So if somebody is persecuting you, keep them. Remember what Paul used to do. Hold the terrorists. We don't want to touch and talk to those terrorists. Come on. God loves the terrorists too. They just don't know what they're doing. They don't realize that what they're doing is wrong. They're like Paul. Paul was a terrorist. And if we just shut ourselves off from everybody and go into the Christian bubble, we lose our saltiness. We lose our effect. We lose the light. God wants us to spread into the world. Amen? Amen. And let the light shine and light up the darkness. Wherever you go, there's power, there's authority, there's glory. Because Christ is in you. You may have to endure for a season. You may have to go through some persecution for a season. But if you stand strong in your assignment, in the calling of God, and you don't shrink back, you don't give up, you stand in that place where He places you, even when everything in you says, I don't want to be here. Frank, have you ever felt like you didn't want to be in the ministry? He's an honest man. There are many joys of being, amen, in the ministry. But the fact is, folks, there are times when you just say, boy, maybe I'll just go drive truck or something, you know. Get out on the road and forget about life and just... I know none of you have ever thought that way before, but you are a minister. Is Christ in you? You're a minister. You are a world changer. You are to be a world changer. You are to change your world. You are to affect change in your world. You are to declare the kingdom is at hand. You are to drive out the darkness. You are to destroy the works of the devil. Oh. Because I know who I am. Just simple childlike faith, receiving what God said and acting upon it. That's faith. The kingdom of God is evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we know that fruitfulness is only possible through an abiding union and dwelling from the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's not the fruit of your good works. It's not a fruit of your effort. It's a fruit of the Spirit. The same way that we manifest the fragrance of Christ in signs and wonders and miracles is the same way that fruit, amen, of love and joy and peace and faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, these things are manifested through our lives as well. It's the same way. What? Through abiding in Him. Through worship. The Father seeks worshipers. How many know that goes beyond? And I'm going to get off on a rabbit trail if I'm not careful. But that goes beyond just singing songs. Worship is your life, isn't it? It's your entire life. Everything you do is unto the Lord for His glory. Hallelujah. But we come before His presence with singing. We enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And in His presence is fullness of joy. Now, Romans 14:17. How many know this one? For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves the Lord in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men even. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 in verse 3, listen, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. He realized that in himself he didn't have what it took. He was poor in spirit. It didn't mean that he was weak in the sense that he was a spiritual giant. You know what I'm saying? Paul was a spiritual giant. But in his natural man, in his natural ability, he was broken. He knew he could not do anything out of his natural man. When we minister to people, I want to say this again, we don't want to minister ourselves to them. We minister Christ. Don't worship me. Don't look at me like the disciples said. Don't look upon us as though by our own power and virtue we've made this man. Amen? Whole. After they healed the impotent man. Remember the crippled man at the gate beautiful. And the people wanted to look at him as though they were gods. They were very careful to say, don't look upon us like that. Now, we want you to know Jesus, the one who commissioned us to go and represent him. A true ambassador represents the one who sent him. Amen. And so he said, I did not come in my speech, he said in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Now, it is possible, I want you to hear this, to go to school, to learn how to preach, to know how to use the language, to know how to even manipulate with words. To get people's emotions stirred. To get people to do what you want them to do. People of the world do that all the time. Has anybody gone and bought a car recently? They know how to use speech to manipulate and control people to do what they want. Now, obviously, we want people to repent and receive Jesus. Would you say amen? But it's not by human wisdom and if you will, wit. But it's got to be by the Spirit of God that people come to Christ. Are you with me?
Yes.
Otherwise, you have a false conversion. You have a person whose emotions were manipulated, and in an emotional moment, they came and they said, okay, what do I got to do? And they can leave that altar the same way they came and be straight, going straight to hell. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws them. What we need is the manifestation of God, amen, through us to reach out and touch people through love that will draw them to Christ. And when God touches a person, I'm talking about the love of God touches a person, it will bring genuine repentance. It will bring conviction. It will bring godly sorrow. I've preached on the love of God before, folks, and I have people come up trembling afterwards saying, what must I do to be saved? In so many words. We'd want to present Jesus. We don't want to handle the word craftily. Amen? We don't want to use persuasive words of human wisdom, as Paul was saying. But he said, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech, but in demonstration. Everybody say demonstration.
Demonstration.
We are to demonstrate. Amen?
Amen?
When you go out and you represent a product, if you're in the sales world, you go out and you demonstrate that product. And when people see how great that product is, amen, brother? They say, hey, man, I want to buy that. I want some of that. When we demonstrate how good God is, when we boast on, praise God, and the as a people, and then we say, listen how good God is. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me.
Yes.
And then we're demonstrating something here. Hello. They're going to want our Jesus.
Right.
Some will. And then other times, God's going to demonstrate Himself in signs and wonders and miracles.
Right.
Imagine that. We don't need to do it. We totally understand that here. But the problem is the enemy has duped a lot of believers into thinking that that's just for the great evangelists or the guy with all the titles. No, it's for you. It's for the believer. We are all to represent Jesus. We're all gifted differently, but we're to represent Him. And we just need to make ourselves available. God wants to heal the sick for the purpose of revealing Himself to them so that they will come and give their life to Jesus. They will look past the gift to the giver. They will want the one who did that special thing for them. We've had people come to Jesus simply because God healed them. In 1 Corinthians 4:20 it says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in dunamis, power. It's not enough just to have your speech ordered a certain way. Are you with me? We need to decree and declare and speak the word, but we need to speak the word by the Holy Spirit given to us from heaven. We need to be hearing His voice and speaking what He's speaking. And when you speak what He's speaking, there is life. There's resurrection life in that word. Back to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5. He said, why did He demonstrate the Spirit and power? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. The kingdom of God is also evidenced by spiritual discernment and understanding. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. For what reason? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Are there any world changers in here tonight?
Amen.
You are a world changer. And you're a world changer when you know who you are. That's why sometimes just saying that, I am a world changer. I'm a world shaker. Because I am a child of God. Because I've been born of His Spirit. Because I've been brought into the family of the Lord. Amen? And therefore, God wants to reveal Himself to the world through you. Not through just Pastor Keith or somebody, but through you. God wants to reveal Himself. Your identity is to be found in Christ. That's who you are now. You're a new creation. You operate out of the new creation, out of the new identity. You let the old identity die. You ignore it. You forsake it. It's gone. Cast it out. I live in my new identity. I am a child of God. Otherwise, you're double-minded. I'm condemned one day and I'm saved the next. I'm up at the altar 20 times a week because I keep getting saved over again. Because God didn't hear me the first time. God hears you the first time. He's just waiting for you to say, Lord, help me. Lord, I forsake my sin. Lord, I come to you. Ultimately, the kingdom of God is evidenced by a changed life. People have seen changes in you. People around you. Has anybody beside myself noticed maybe a little change in your life? People see the evidence of Christ in us more than we notice in ourselves. Because you live in that place. You live in His presence. To us, it's just like, it's normal to us, and it is normal. It's the most normal life. It's to be whole. It's to be complete. You're complete in Christ. But people around you are going to notice it more than you will. And that's why sometimes people are not even going to like you, and you don't even know why. I used to get along with just about anybody when I was a heathen. A pre-Christian. Because I lived to please people. And if they did that, I did that. But when I came to Jesus and He changed my heart, all of a sudden I find myself having enemies. Even when I still don't deliberately try to make enemies, but when I try to live for Jesus, automatically I have enemies. I'm never going back. Jesus says, rejoice if you're persecuted for my name's sake. Leap for joy in that day. I had somebody literally do that. He said one time, he leapt for joy. All right, well, see, that's a child. Child in the Spirit. Jesus said it. I believe it. That settles it. I'm not going to allow anything else to come in there and cloud it and clutter it. Just the simplicity of walking out a life in relationship with Jesus, enjoying Him, His fellowship, enjoying the journey, just listening for His voice. Okay, Lord, here's my day. I give you my day. Lead me in the way I should go. You know, open doors of opportunity for me to minister to people today. If you ask Him, He'll do it. But you got to keep your antennas up. You got to be alert. But when we become as children and we get back to the basics, back to the simplicity, this is the thing. As a church has been, we have had Bible study, Bible study, Bible study, Bible study, conference, 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 CDs, tapes, Christian television, more, 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 more. And folks, that's good that you're feeding on the Word. But the problem is that sometimes we are continually learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Whatever you receive, you've got to give it away. So when you're learning, find somebody to share it with. Right on. Thank you, April. You make it easy for me to preach. You also make it longer, too. So it's not my fault. Like what Ray was saying, if you say amen, you'll get out of here sooner. That don't work with me. When people say amen, it's like, hey, they're enjoying this. I'll give them some more. Okay. So we have a bottle of water, right? I can tell you that this water is really good. It's cool. It's refreshing. Some of you are probably really dry about now, so I'm just rubbing it in. Being prepared. And you can say, well, that's a really cool bottle. I like the blue label, and that water certainly looks refreshing. And I think I want to learn a little bit more about the water. Where was it bottled? Shelton Springs. Kidding. What ingredients does it contain? May contain one or more of the following. May contain, yeah. And so we study the bottle, and I like the way the contours and the white cap on the top. And isn't that an interesting bottle? You know where I'm going with this. We can ever be kind of studying the thing and looking at it and learning more about it. But it's not until you just open the cap and say, I'm going to have a drink. I'm going to start utilizing what's been given to me. Amen? I'm going to benefit from what's been freely given to me. And then when I benefit from the refreshing I receive here, amen, then I'm hydrated, amen, and I'm able to serve others. We got to get beyond the sacred page to the Lord Himself. And this is a group of people I know that are hungry for His presence. People who don't want His presence won't stay in this church very long. There are some people, folks, that really don't want the Holy Spirit. They want to be in church because they want to, you know, please the man upstairs. They want to punch the clock and say, see, I was in church. But they don't really want His presence. And that's why they stay away from a Spirit-filled church. Sometimes that's why. Other times it's because they've been misinformed. They've been given wrong information. The enemy has sown fear into their hearts about the holy things of God. But it's true. Because Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. But men love darkness rather than light. And they don't come into the light because they don't want to be exposed. But because we are lovers of the truth, because we're lovers of Jesus, we come in, amen, with full abandon, with open hearts, and say, Lord, here's my life, here's my heart. I give you full permission to search me out, try me, amen, prove me, cleanse me, do what you got to do to fix me and get me in position for the blessing, because I want to be a blessing in this world. Amen.